Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Akinchana Krishna Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 8th Chapter, Verse 1 onwards. Hare Krishna Akinchana Krishna Prabhuji, Tanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for joining the call and giving your valuable time association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before I hand over call to you, I would like to hand over Praveen Govind Prabhuji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Praveen Govind Prabhuji, Tanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Please take over the call.
Tanvat Pranam to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Akinchana Krishna Das Prabhu hails from Mumbai. He dedicated full time to monastic services, Brahmacharya, in ISKCON in the year 1999. He had a short stint of working in the industry for 2 years in Blue Star Limited and PC Soft Private Limited after completing his graduation in Electronics and Telecom Engineering and post-graduation in Business Management. He served as a value educator in schools, Gita for college youths, and given seminars to corporate young professionals on stress and time management. Gita principles for the satisfying life and motivational seminars for youth in ISKCON Chopati's Prerana Youth Festival. He is a regular Srimad Bhagavatam speaker in ISKCON Girgaon Chopati. He has also been taking weekly spiritual courses for devotee communities in Panvel, Khargar, Seawoods, South Mumbai. He also organizes 2-month spiritual trips and talks for the British sabbatical youth from the Bhaktivedanta Manor every year. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Akinchana Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada Gurudev. I will hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the devotees who are responsible for giving me this opportunity to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam and purify myself. And also render this service of giving all of you transcendental pleasure. It's so inspiring to see so many devotees congregating online, especially devotees from abroad, so sincere, so wonderful, making the best use of your time during lockdown. It's certainly a very inspiring for me personally. So I've been advised to speak on the 5th canto, 8th chapter, the first verse. So I will project that screen right now. Right. Okay, hope you can see my screen, yes?
Yes, right. Prabhuji, you can
hear it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta praesho bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtagi krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha nanda gopakumaraya govindaya namo namaha om adhyanat mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Ho Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Upesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastuti Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'll be reading the summary of this chapter and then the first verse. A description of the character of Bharat Maharaj. Although Bharat Maharaj was very elevated, he fell down due to his attachment to a young deer. One day after Bharat Maharaj had taken his bath as usual in the river Gandaki and was chanting his mantra, he saw a pregnant deer come to the river to drink water. Suddenly there could be heard the thundering roar of a lion, and the deer was so frightened that it immediately gave birth to its calf. It then crossed the river but died immediately thereafter. Maharaj Bharat took compassion upon the motherless calf, rescued it from the water, took it to his ashram and cared for it affectionately. He gradually became attached to this young deer and always thought of it affectionately. As it grew up, it became Maharaj Bharat's constant companion and he always took care of it. Gradually, he became so absorbed in thinking of this deer that his mind became agitated. As he became more attached to the deer, his devotional service slackened. Although he was able to give up his opulent kingdom, he became attached to the deer. Thus, he fell down from his mystic yoga practice. Once when the deer was absent, Maharaj Bharat was so disturbed that he began to search for it. While searching and lamenting the deer's absence, Maharaj Bharat fell down and died. Because his mind was fully absorbed thinking of the deer, he naturally took his next birth from the womb of a deer. However, because he was considerably advanced spiritually, it did not forget his past activities, even though he was in the body of a deer. He could understand how he had fallen down from his exalted position, and remembering this, he left his mother deer and again went to Puluha Ashram. He finally ended his fruitive activities in the form of a deer, and when he died, he was released from the deer's body. Hare Krishna. Ekadatu maha nadyam kritabhisheka nayamika vashyako brahmaksharam abhikranano muhurtatrayam udaganta upavipesha. This verse is in prose. It doesn't have a meter, therefore it cannot be chanted or sung. It just has to be read out. Sri Shuka Uvacha. So Sri Shuka Goswami continued. Okay, I'll read the word to word. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Ekada, once upon a time, tu, but, Mahanadyam, in the great river known as Gandaki, Krita Abhishek Nahi, Yamika Avashyakaha Having taken a bath after finishing the daily external duties such as passing stool and urine and brushing the teeth. Brahmaksharam, the pranav mantra om, abhigranaha chanting, muhurtatrayam for 3 minutes, udak ante on the bank of the river, upavivesha, he sat down. Translation. Sri Shukdev Goswami continued, my dear king, one day after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating and bathing, Maharaj Bharat sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began chanting his mantra, beginning with Omkar. Well, so, a very striking episode from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once having heard it, I don't think anyone can unhear it. Leaves a very lasting impression on our consciousness. Lot of teachings in this chapter. As we read in the summary, story of Bharat Maharaj. So, now our country gets its name from this great rishi, Raj Rishi. He was a king previously, son of Rishabhadev, and one would not really expect that such a great personality like Bharat Maharaj, you know, Bharat, actually today it has become India, but actually India is not the correct name for our country. The real name is actually Bharat. Bha in Sanskrit means light. Abha. It also signifies knowledge, wisdom. So Bharat. Rat means to be absorbed. So this tract of land got its name Bharat because this place was well known for spirituality. And certainly any person coming to India would notice that. It's not for spiritual, it's not for material advancement that India is known or Bharat is known. It's known for its spiritual culture. And that's what Prabhupada also said, that what Prabhupada had, this genius of Prabhupada was he could draw the essence. He would say that India is known for spirituality, America is known for material advancement, or West is known for material advancement. And he would say that India is like a man with eyes, because India is like wisdom, place of wisdom and culture. So it is represents a man with eyes, but India is not very materially advanced. So you could say that he is a man with eyes, but he is man without legs. And the West is a place of enormous material advancement and infrastructure. So he said that's like a very strong man with strong legs, but no eyes, because they lack spiritual culture. So he said, how do these two, when they get together, how can they help each other? Is when the lame man gets onto the shoulder of the blind man, and then they can go places. So such was this personality, Bharat, from whom we have gotten this name, Bharat. Really, could anyone have imagined that this great personality can end up in such a destination as a deer? could make such a mistake? And really, so, you know, it doesn't really matter in the eyes of people how great we are. Because ultimately, no matter how big or how small, insignificant we are, the principles of assessment for spiritual advancement is going to be the same for everyone. Maybe very popular in this world, having millions and millions of YouTube subscribers and Twitter followers and Facebook friends and all those things. But finally, it all boils down to how Krishna conscious we are. Bharat ended up becoming a deer in his next life. Instead of going back home, back to Godhead, he ended up as a deer. You know, once in a morning walk in the 1973 April the 25th, it's a recorded lecture in Los Angeles. Prabhupada is speaking with his disciples. Prabhupada is saying, "No sane man will do it, but death is sure. You are making very nice foundation, but you'll have to leave. You cannot remain here. That they do not know. Jawaharlal Nehru worked for something, something. And then Gandhi worked for his country so much. Now where are they? Nobody knows. Brahmanand, where?" Prabhupada says, "Where is Jawaharlal? Where is Mahatma Gandhi? They worked so hard for the nation. Now he's dead and gone. Now where he is, neither the nation knows whether he has now dot dots." And then some astrologer told that he has become a dog in Sweden. Swarup Damodar says, "He has become a dog?" Prabhupada, "Dog." Brahmanand, "Nehru?" Prabhupada, "Yes, there is possibility. Dehantara praptihi." Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 13th verse. Change of body. So if according to laws of nature, you have to change your body, you cannot dictate the laws of nature that give me this body, give me again American body. That is not possible. When you are dead, you have to accept another body. It may be cat's body, dog's body, it doesn't matter. You cannot dictate nature that give me a body like this. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said that about Jawaharlal Nehru, who was leading a country. So therefore, so there are various themes. The very important theme, or many important themes, is one that we can take from the previous episode of Rishabhdev that we discussed previously. That Rishabhdev, despite having mystic powers, despite being a devotee, despite having the facility of Yukta Vairagya, that means the ability to use material facilities in God's service, he did not use the mystic yoga perfections which he had. And Shukdev Goswami was asked this question by Parikshit Maharaj, why didn't he use it? And if you remember, we said that the reason being that he never trusted his mind. Devotee should be very careful. Because the yogic powers, mystic perfections are so powerful that it may bewilder even a devotee. And therefore, one should know one's abilities and capacity. As we will end up using the facility in our own service instead of God's service. So the main principle of this Rishabhdev Leela was caution, to be careful. And the example was given, like the mind is like a wild animal, no animal likes captivity. And even if the hunters or, you know, the captors may capture an animal and keep it in captivity for decades, but still, when given the opportunity, the animal would like to escape. Doesn't matter how many years the animal has been in captivity. So similarly, the yogi who has managed to bring his mind in control, the mind is like an animal, it does not like control, it does not like captivity. And no matter how many years the yogi has managed to keep his mind under strict control, but he should never trust the mind, he should always be careful, because the mind will try to escape. Always looking for excuses and opportunities to escape. So that was the lesson in the previous episode, because ultimately Rishabhdev was the father of Bharat Maharaj. And here we see his very, very noble son has succumbed to this temptation, and his mind royally sold him to Maya, so to speak. Yes, so a very important lesson is that we should be very careful. Now, we see that Acharyas explain that a very important lesson is compassion. Okay, a devotee is naturally compassionate, and it started off with Bharat Maharaj giving protection to the young fawn, but it didn't end well. Now, giving protection is certainly a gesture of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is compassionate. It's one of the principles of dharma. Satya, tapa, daya and shaucha. Daya means compassion. So, naturally a devotee is compassionate. His heart is very soft. And Krishna consciousness practice makes the heart soft. But as a result, the negative side of that is that one may tend to become emotional towards the wrong things. One should be emotional for Krishna. And that's what happened, that his compassion got in the way of devotion. And therefore, the scriptures warn that compassion is good as long as it does not get in the way of devotion. And, you know, there is another episode in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, of Sauhari Muni. He was performing austerities within the Yamuna, within the waters, and Garuda would come there very frequently to catch fish. And Sauhari Muni, seeing the fish being killed, felt compassion for the fish, which was nice, which is good. However, he became angry on Garuda and he cursed Garuda that if you come here again, you will die. And now that was an offense. His compassion for the fish was okay, understandable, but his cursing of Garuda was a wrong thing to do, because he failed to understand that Garuda was a personal associate of Narayan, was a devotee. And that was his mistake, you know. So as a result, we know that he had to incur reaction for that offense, and he fell down from his practice. He succumbed to temptation of lust. And how did he do that? How did that happen? He saw some fish mating within the waters. Fish mating out of all the species, fish. And he became tempted and he got drawn towards sex life. He gave up his yogic practice and went and married 50 women. Took 50 women as his wives and forgot all about his yoga. Of course, later on again he took it up, but then whatever, there was a lapse in his spiritual practice because of that offense. So a very important principle is that compassion is good, very good. However, it should not get in the way of your Krishna consciousness. That has to be understood. Because, you know, I mean, just recently I was requested by one group from Pune, I think, and they told me to speak on a topic. I chose to speak on Bound to be Free, a seminar which I had prepared for the youths on the four regulator principles, with, you know, slides and everything. So, and that was meat eating. Why a devotee should not eat meat? Because of compassion. Live and let live. Thou shalt not kill. And all that. So, anyway, after the session, immediately one Mataji asked a question. Prabhuji, how do we balance our spiritual life? You know, we hear of Bharat Maharaj also. He showed compassion. Just speaking of compassion, Bharat also showed compassion, but then he fell down from spiritual life. Well, I did not really address that question because I felt it was not related, you know, because right now we are speaking on compassion and I wanted to do justice. Another point, you know, it was far-fetched. You know, you speak about compassion to people who eat meat, give up meat eating, and if you tell them about the other extreme, it's not really required. I said, we will discuss it some other time. Because really, people may get into this thing of, oh, animals. I still remember when I was on a yatra and when I was walking, Ramkeli, I don't know if you all have visited Ramkeli, the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa and Sanatan, the place where Rupa and Sanatan worked for the Nawab. So I remember when I was there, I heard, we were all walking, hundreds and thousands of devotees were there. So we were all walking and all of a sudden there was one goat which came running, a small baby goat came running from behind and just crossed me and went ahead. And when I looked back, what was happening, some devotees were, you know, playing with a goat. They were trying to hold it and catch it. And so I thought, let me help them out. So I picked up that very cute little goat and held it in my hand. And just at that moment, one gentleman devotee looked at me and passed a comment. He says, Bharat Maharaj. You know, so. And just at that time, another devotee, he came with a camera and clicked my photograph. And he said, Prabhu, I have this DSLR camera. I want to send you a photograph which I clicked. I hope you like it. Please give me your WhatsApp number. And I gave it to him and he sent me. And that photograph, I put it on my WhatsApp and my Zoom profile photograph. You're only seeing my face, but actually if you see the whole photograph, I'm with a goat in my hand. So I personally love pets. And just recently, somebody sent me a photograph of Indradumna Maharaj patting a dog. We hear of Prabhupada, one cat coming to Prabhupada and Prabhupada stroking the cat with his lotus feet. So, is it wrong to... I didn't think so. I mean, people may get a little bigoted and think that one should stay away from animals. It's not necessary. That's not the point, that if you show compassion, if you fondle an animal, then you will become like Bharat Maharaj. No, it's not like that. That's not the point. The whole point is, if your compassion gets in the way of your Krishna consciousness, which means that if you now begin to compromise your sadhana, if you're thinking of cats and dogs more than you're thinking of Krishna, then it becomes an obstacle. That is the point. I was making a point in that seminar that, you know, we need to connect with animals because that's why we are becoming heartless. And, you know, even in our Govardhan Eco Village, Maharaj has, you know, Radhana Swami Maharaj has arranged for so many animals there, horses, donkeys, goats, and people come, children come, and they love, you know, just looking at them and playing. It's a very wonderful part of our life, animals. We can't avoid them. And they bond with them and they think, and then we educate them that, you know, we shouldn't eat them, and they develop a bond with them. Make them realize that you keep a dog as a pet, you keep a cat as your pet, but then why do you kill chickens? why do you kill, why do you kill pigs and goats? They also have life. They're just the same. Why is your compassion so unequal? So that is the point that we're trying to make. I mean, no one becomes Bharat Maharaj just because, you know, you fondled an animal. No. I mean, for that matter, if you think that you'll become if you fondle a dog, you'll become a dog. Or if you fondle a goat, you'll become a goat in the next life, is ridiculous. You know, if that was the case, then, you know, all the Vaishyas who, Krishi, Goraksha, Varnijyam, all those, that community, Vaishya community, who keep cows and bulls and buffaloes and calves, they will all end up as cows in the next life. Is that so? Is that the lesson? Or all the Kshatriyas who would ride their elephants and who would ride their horses and would keep dogs and all those, and they would have a personal rapport with their animals. You know, the Kshatriya Shivaji, I heard that his horse saved him once in a battle. When he was fighting with someone on an elephant, the horse would, you know, generally jump and up to the head, above the head of an elephant, it seems. The horse was very loyal and faithful to Shivaji. And once it so happened that the horse was severely injured, but somehow, you know, when Shivaji was in danger, even though the horse was injured, it brought Shivaji out of the battlefield, and it died. The horse died, and Shivaji was very upset, and he lamented for that horse. And also Rana Pratap, he had a very faithful dog who used to serve him. And when that dog died, I heard that Rana Pratap also was lamenting. So Kshatriyas also do have a personal relationship with their animals. That doesn't mean that all Kshatriyas end up as dogs and horses and elephants in the next life. That's not the point. We shouldn't take an example and stretch it to the extreme and be like, so the important, as it is explained here, your compassion should not get in the way of your Krishna consciousness. Protect yourself first. If you are protected, then you can protect others. Now, Bharat Maharaj, he was trying his best to protect the deer, but as a result, he forgot to protect himself. That was the important thing. Now, another lesson is, another principle is that first you help yourself. Your deliverance is most important. If you are not alive, you cannot save others. That's why in these, aircrafts, you have these announcements that when the pressure drops, these oxygen masks will drop. Please, first you fit it to yourself and then you can help others. You know that announcement we hear. Why? Because if you are alive, then there is a possibility that you may be able to save someone. But if you are not alive, that's not possible. Save yourself first. And you can save yourself in two ways. Either you can save yourself spiritually, and yes, you must have a body, so therefore you have to save yourself materially. Also others, when it comes to others, you can save others spiritually, you can save others materially. Now both are intertwined with each other. Both are connected. It's not that if you see someone materially suffering, you'll say, I don't care about your material body. No, you can't say that. You have to, because jaan hai to jahan hai, they say in Hindi. You know, everyone needs their body. Their body is very dear to them. And on the basis of their body, they will practice Krishna consciousness. But what Bharat Maharaj made a mistake was that he forgot to protect himself. And he became too much absorbed in trying to protect the material body of the deer. So how come this gross deviation when Bharat Maharaj had such great renunciation that he was the emperor of the world who gave up his queens, his children, his treasury, the influence, the power, everything, to come and meditate in the forest only to be attached to a deer. How ridiculous does that sound? How is that even possible? I mean, so therefore, it's something to think about, that how can someone give up such great temptations, which is so difficult for most of the people in this world, and then get trapped with affection for a deer? How is that even possible? So, you know, we may think that something is insignificant, some attachments are insignificant, but actually everyone has their own weakness. Everyone has their own weaknesses. I remember when I was very new in Krishna consciousness, at that time, one of our counselors, he was also a student. We were also students. Who was very ideal in his behavior and everything, proper. And we used to look up to him for inspiration. And he was arrested by the police because he robbed 900,000 rupees from another devotee's house. And the police came into the temple and a lot of commotion, and we couldn't understand what just happened. But of course, he had the money with him. He returned the money and he said, sorry, the devotee took the other devotee, because both were devotees. And it was a devotee. Even the police could not track it. Even the police could not crack the case. Then the devotee, he left his office and he applied his mind looking at webcams and, you know, security cameras, and did such an amazing investigation that he tracked down what even the police could not do. The devotee tracked down and he found out that it was another devotee who stole money from his house. And then it was reported, police came, and then he took back his case. And that other devotee went into prison for about, say, a week or something like that, and he was out. And then we asked our senior devotees, other devotees, that how come a devotee can do such a thing like this? So then, you know, then we were explained that everyone has their own weaknesses. Some people have money as a weakness. Some people have maybe, you know, attraction to the opposite sex as their weakness. Some people may have attraction to, you know, like this, dogs, cats and puppies and parrots and all these things. Like for this case of Bharat Maharaj, it was a deer. Now, we may think it as insignificant, but actually, even if you see today on YouTube, the cat and dog videos are the most popular videos. Yes, am I right? I don't know if any one of you all have gotten any of those cat and dog videos. Parrots and, you know, strange exotic animals. People are even keeping snakes and turtles as pets. It's a big thing, and lakhs and lakhs of likes and views. And I personally, I know that even I had a squirrel at home. And when I read this episode of Bharat Maharaj, I could remember my childhood days when I was in school, when I had gone to Kerala. One of my friends from the village, he just brought a small baby squirrel and put it inside my pocket. That thing was wriggling in my pocket, and I didn't know what it was. When I took it out, it was a small baby squirrel. And the day I looked at it, I fell in love at it. And I requested my father, can I bring it home? And father said, all right, okay. And then I made a, you know, cage for it and all those things. It became such a part of our family. I used to consider it as my brother, and everything, whatever you read in this Bharat Maharaj, all the emotions that go through a mind of a person who's the caretaker for a pet, everything I could experience. And even when that pet died, unfortunately, my father slept on it. In the night it came out, it would come to me or my mother, and we would hold it in our hands and then we would sleep. But one day it came to my father. Father did not realize, he slept on it and it got squished. Morning we woke up, it was lying on the ground with blood coming out of his mouth. And I spent 1 month shedding tears, weeping and lamenting for, and all those, you know, pastimes, all those things which Bharat Maharaj, if you read this whole chapter, whatever you see, I've experienced it. So I could very much relate with this. And I was only thanking God that, you know, that was a long time ago when I was in my school days. I realized that, yes, attraction for animals, pets, is certainly very strong. It is a natural bond between animals with humans. Can't deny that. But at the same time, we should be careful because it can be very significant. Yes. So, Maya knows how to trap a devotee, knows all our weaknesses. And therefore, one has to be careful. And as we can see here, now, why Bharat Maharaj, being such a great yogi, such a great Rajarishi, again, we can see in this translation itself that one day after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating and bathing, Maharaj Bharat sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began chanting his mantra, beginning with Omkar. Now, you see, I mean, his mystic practice of mystic yoga is falling short of the association of devotees. Now, what he did not have was association of devotees. So, the important lesson is that we should always be protected by devotees. He had none to tell him, Bharat Maharaj, what are you doing? You are neglecting your sadhana. Yes, there was nobody to tell him that. Therefore, it is said, you know, in the 10th canto, I think there is the 26th chapter, 26th verse, the words that Tato dusangam utsrijya satsu sajjeta buddhiman. Santa evashe chindanti mano vyasanga mukti bhi. Tato dusangam utsrijya. Dusangam means bad association. Utsrijya, give up. Utsrijya means completely giving up bad association. Satsu sajjeta buddhiman. One should take to the association of saintly devotees. Buddhiman. An intelligent devotee should do this. Why? Sant evasya chindanti. Because the devotees, they will cut your material attachments, the attachments in your mind. Mano vyasanga mukti bhi. Vyasanga means the excessive attachment which is there in the mind, they will cut it with the sword of their words. Mukti bhi. With their words they will cut. They will instruct you. And they will say, hey, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You're deviating, Bharat Maharaj. Give it up. Enough. You give it to that devotee. He will take care of the deer. Okay, you've done your part. Now you go and do your meditation. You see, he had none. He was the only one there. So that goes to show that an association is so important. And what keeps us away from the association of devotees is our false ego. That is the only thing. Prabhupada said, if anyone leaves the association of devotees, it is only because of our false ego. That is the only reason. And another very important instruction that we may get from this is, and a doubt can be raised that how come he fell down. What caused it? His negligence, all right, but what triggered that negligence? And then the argument is that maybe it was his past karma, his attachment for karmakanda, due to which we have certain proclivities to become attached to certain things. But then the argument is that, okay, but Bharat Maharaj was on such a high level of devotion, then how is it possible that his past karma was still present? Because past karmas are destroyed when one practices Krishna consciousness. So he was on a very, very high level of yoga. He was yoga rude, advanced yogi. He was not a neophyte yogi. Then what is the possibility of his past karma catching up with him? What triggered that thing? And then the acharyas explained that yes, even though your yogic practices, your devotion, your chanting Hare Krishna will destroy your past karma, but we have to be knowing that there are certain things which will not be destroyed by chanting Hare Krishna. And Rupa Goswami explains that, yes, in the Nectar of Devotion, that aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phalonmukham prayenaiva praliyeta krishna bhakti ratatmanam. That means aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam, all these will be destroyed, but prarabdha, what about that? That will not be destroyed, which means that aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam, these are all different karmas at their different stages of development. But there is no mention of prarabdha, which is already manifested karma. For example, our bodies. Now when we chant Hare Krishna, all the past reactions are destroyed. All that which was mentioned here. But what about a body, which is also the result of a past karma? Is that destroyed? If that would be destroyed, then a devotee, the moment he's chanting and he reaches a certain level, then immediately his body should fall and he should go back to Vaikuntha, to Golok. But that does not happen. And the reason Acharya explains is that the Lord wants us to keep our bodies so that we can perfect our lives, attain devotion. So, it is explained that a semblance of our karma still remains. A shadow of our karma still remains. Even though the karmas have gone and destroyed, but the shadow remains, semblance remains. Like for example, you know, when you write something with, say, maybe a piece of, with a pencil on a piece of paper in your notebook, and then when you erase it with a rubber, the black carbon is gone, but still the impressions remain. Yes? As children, yeah, we have this experience. So those subtle impressions which may provoke certain thoughts and certain emotions, however, with a little bit of diligence, we can avoid that situation. Unfortunately, Bharat Maharaj, he was not careful. He took it casually, and as a result, he became a casualty. Yes. So, and you know, there is this story I had told about Ratnavali Mataji. You know, somebody I think had asked this question also previously. I had given an example. Ratnavali Mataji, the lady who lives in London. She says that she had lived in the past. She was within the movement of ISKCON even in her past life. She was a brahmachari in her past life, a European who was in love with a girl, an Indian girl in the congregation. And that brahmachari happened to die in a road accident. And in his next life, he became this Mataji, Ratnavali Mataji. And this episode has been attested by Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He said that, yes, this is a genuine case of reincarnation. That girl could remember many things. I met her when I was in London. I met her. She was into Harinam Sankirtan. Streets of London, Piccadilly Circus, Circle and that area were all there. So I told her that, you know, I hope you don't mind. I use your slides and your diary for my seminars for examples of past life memories. So she said, no, and she was very happy. I clicked photographs and all. She's married now, and she said that she did a little research. She went and met that woman whom she was in love with in a past life. And she said that her own face resembled that lady because probably that was what was on the mind of the brahmachari when he died. So, the principle of whatever you remember at the time of death, that you will attain in the next life. So Bharat Maharaj knew this principle, but still he died just as an ordinary common man. He was such an advanced yogi. But when he was dying, he died like a materialistic person. He didn't die like a yogi. He led his life like a yogi, but he died as a materialistic man, thinking of a deer. That was his mistake. And as a result of that, he became a deer. And this principle is an eye-opening principle. We learn about it in Krishna consciousness. We know, materialistic people don't really know this. That how thinking of something can lead to a body in your next life. Prabhupada said, if you have a desire even to eat a gulab jamun, you'll have to take birth again. Krishna will give you. He's very merciful. He'll give you that opportunity. But then do we want that? So this Ratnavali Mataji examples are there. Also, we can understand the Lord's protection. Never mind. Even though, if you are on this path of devotion and if you happen to make a mistake, never mind. Krishna will protect you. And again, the very important principle taught to us is that even though Bharat Maharaj fell down, became a deer, but as a deer, he was thinking like a human. He had all those memories of his past life. He was a Jati Smar. Krishna's grace. It is not possible for a deer to have a mind of a yogi, of a human. Or even if they have, we don't know. We may never know actually what is in the head of an animal. They look at us and they, you know, bark and they make sounds and things like that. But we never know what is inside the mind of an animal. But by the grace of the Lord, Bharat Maharaj was having all those. And he never wasted his time in the body of a deer. He immediately came to the association of devotees. He came to the ashram of Pulaharishi, spent his time hearing, chanting. He gave up his dear mother, father, siblings. Didn't waste any time. Repented severely for the mistake which he had done in the past. And so we can understand that the Lord's protection is there for all of us. Just in case something goes wrong, never mind. Krishna will take care. Nothing is lost. It's only a very short gap between attained perfection. You know, perfection is postponed a bit. But nevertheless, we will attain perfection. There's no doubt about it. It will take more time. So therefore, Lord's grace is available in all circumstances. Lord never abandons us. He can never abandon his devotees. So, life is a preparation and death is an examination. And Prabhupada has given us these sadhana to do of chanting Hare Krishna, association books, chanting and diet, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees. An association of devotees is that very strong method of taking our minds out of all these kind of silly things. Silly attachments that we may have. Now it could be deer or it could be our mobile phones that we are attached to, or you know, watching, or you know, whatever it could be, Netflix or you know, Amazon. You know, these are all deers actually in our lives. We all have our own deers, our own attachments. And the only way of replacing these attachments is by having a far greater attachment. And it is the only attachment to the devotees, to the holy name, which will help in replacing or eliminating or overcoming these so-called obstacles. And therefore, we have to spend our time avyartha kalatvam. Rupa Goswami explains that every moment should be spent in remembering Krishna. Smartavyam sadatam Vishnu, vismartavyam na jatuchit, sarva vidhi nishedasyor etayor eva kinkarah. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is one principle that yogis should follow. This is the king of all principles. All rules and regulations are simply subservience of this one main principle. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Always remember Krishna. Vismartavyam na jatuchit. Never forget Krishna. Sarva vidhi nishedasyor. All vidhis, all do's, nished, all don'ts. Etayor eva kinkaraha. Kinkara means servants. All subsidiary rules. This is the main rule. Yes, so compassion is important. That's why even Yudhishthir Maharaj, if you see, when all the Pandavas died, when Draupadi, she passed away, then Nakul, Sahadev, Bhim, Arjun, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was all alone walking Badrinath to the place Swargarohana. At that time, the heavenly chariot appeared and said, Yudhishthir, please come to heaven. You have attained the right to ascend to heaven. Indra is waiting for you. And Yudhishthir Maharaj says, I will come for sure, but you will also have to take this dog which has taken my shelter. Now, what is that dog? Well, the dog was following Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir said, I cannot abandon this dog. It is under my shelter. How can I protect? How can I abandon it? Abandoning someone who has taken your shelter is a great sin. And the Lord does not like heartless devotees. Cannot be heartless. A devotee cannot be. Compassion devotion is all inclusive. It is not exclusive. Certainly, Krishna's devotee cannot be heartless. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, my dear sir, if you have to take me, you'll have to take this dog also to heaven. What? Dogs are not allowed in heaven. You please come. He said, sorry, if my dog cannot come, I cannot come. And then immediately, that dog transformed himself into Dharma. It was his own father, Dharma, who had appeared in the form of a dog in order to test him in the final hour of his death, whether he is abandoning Dharma. But Yudhishthir Maharaj did not abandon. So therefore, one must not think that one should not protect animals. That is not the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bharat Maharaj. Animals must be protected. They are like our children, certainly. But we have to understand that principle, yes, of always remembering Krishna and never to compromise, save yourself, think of Krishna. That should be should give spiritual benefit to others, but one should not, you know, that way, go downwards. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, and then he became. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj, then he passed the test and he entered into the chariot and ascended to heaven. So, wonderful examples in the scriptures, wonderful philosophy, Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here if anyone has any questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for such a wonderful class. Thank you for sharing the story of Bharat Maharaj and meaning of Bharat, nicely explained Prabhuji. And first we have to save our lives and save other lives too. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I'm requesting devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead. Please raise your hands. We can unmute for you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Ananta Koti Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gaurav. Missing Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Seva and Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Patisan so nicely explain about what is the meaning of association by the Bharat Maharaj story and that Ratnavali Mataji story she is in a last word in a brahmachari. And yes, Prabhuji, this first Bhakti Sangha is such a strong Vaishnava association. We all get up early in the morning doing japa together. Sometimes we become a down because of health, but again because of the Vaishnava's association, we get up and start our japa, start Shri Bhagavatam, hearing Shri Bhagavatam, afternoon hearing Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's directly effect to our japa, Prabhuji. Its quality is coming day by day improving. Ananta Koti Danvat Pranam to your sincere seva. So many points, but other Mataji and Prabhuji has to explain. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Prabhuji, this is our Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhakti Sangha. Vaishnavis Association is Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. In Radha Gopinath, we get the association of senior counselor, Maharaj meetings and Chetna program. So many programs, 3 days in a week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But for us, Bhakti Sangha is our Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Hari Hari Gauranga Danvat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Such a deep devotional association today you are given to all of us.
Your voice sounds familiar. I think you had given an offering for Mataji recently. Mataji, you passed away from our congregation. Are you the one who just recently gave an offering? Is that yes?
This is Vrinda Gopika from Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Temple, Radhanath Maharaj disciple. My counselor sir is Sridham Prabhu and Kishori Mataji. H.J. Sridham Prabhu and H.J. Kishori Mataji.
Did you give an offering, condolence offering? Recently, did you do that?
And Prabhuji, abroad counselor is H.J. Adhikadadar Prabhu and H.J. Radha Bhav.
Okay, all right. Maybe I mistook you to be someone else. All right, Harish. Thank you. Yeah. So
Lalit. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Prabhuji. Please go ahead.
Lalita and Dinabandhu.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Lalita Mataji and Dinabandhu Prabhuji. Please go ahead with your questions, Mataji. Mataji, are you there? Lalita Mataji and Dinabandhu.
Lalita Mataji.
Sorry, how about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you for this wonderful class. Helped me very much because I had a farm with many animals. Over 21 animals, and now we've moved and retired from that life, and it's been kind of difficult for me not to have their association. But one thing that really strikes me when I'm listening to all the different Srimad Bhagavatam classes about Bharat Maharaj is how high his level of love for Krishna was, and that when he would offer prasadam, it was with such intense love. And my understanding since being a young devotee is that prasadam, you get saved from the worst fear. By taking prasadam, you're sort of guaranteed a human life in your next birth. And I know it's a leela, it's a pastime. However, it is a little confusing sometimes. The power of associating with Krishna through prasadam, not taking that effect or having that effect. In fact, on one class, I asked Maharaj about when people leave their body through suicide, if they've taken prasadam, do they still get that benefit? And his response was more or less that it has to do with the consciousness of honoring prasadam. as if it didn't have that effect if you weren't aware that it was prasadam and that it was non-different from Krishna. That's my question.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That there lies the answer, I think, because it's the consciousness. You know, there's a story of Ramanujacharya. Once he took prasad and he went and washed his hands in the holy river, Kaveri. And in front of all the disciples, they witnessed that the fish came and took the remnants of the Mahaprasad from the hands of Ramanujacharya, and they developed 400 Vishnu forms and ascended to heaven. They went back home, back to Godhead. They were shocked. These fish attained Vaikuntha. They are wondering, we take regular prasad, Mahaprasad of our guru, Ramanujacharya. How come we have not developed four hands? So they asked this question to Maharaj, and Ramanujacharya explained that it's because you commit offenses. You discriminate. I will take rabadi, I will take mango, Mahaprasad. The moment you do that, that is an offense. Because you are seeing, you are eating for the sake of satisfying your palate. And the fish, see, a disadvantage can sometimes be an advantage. And one disadvantage that, you know, these fish have no intelligence to do that kind of an offense, then that came up as an advantage for them because they did not commit that offense. And as a result of that, they got their mercy and they were delivered. So, another episode of Ramanujacharya, once he was going and some children were playing, you know, and they were having a mock temple, they were having mock deity of Ranganath, and they were, so one was making chapatis with sand and another person was offering the bhoga to the Lord, and you know, they were playing a very nice devotional game. So when Ramanujacharya came there, looked at those children, oh, what are you doing? So those children, they, you know, gave a little bit of that sand to Ramanujacharya. Take prasad, take prasad. And Ramanujacharya very devotionally took that sand, put it on his head and ate it. Devotees were shocked. Maharaj, you ate sand. He said, it is not sand, it is prasad. Those children are so devotionally offering that to the Lord. It is as good as prasad. And with that consciousness, he ate the sand, Ramanujacharya. So you see, it has got a lot to do with consciousness. And what is that consciousness? Therefore, when it comes to strong principles, we should go according to what scriptures say. Scriptures say that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajantyante kalevaram. Ultimately, your consciousness, your thought, are you thinking of Krishna? That is the most important principle. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Not what you do, but why you do is the most important principle in spirituality. It's not, okay, you are eating prasad, but why are you eating prasad? That is the question. Yeah, I guess. Hare Krishna. You know, it is not a formula. It's not that it's like a machine, vending machine. You put your coin inside and you get, you know, your Pepsi and a Coke coming out of that machine. It's not like that. It's not like you chant Hare Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You'll chant Hare Krishna and we can go to hell. Why not? Can we put a formula on the Lord that, okay, I'll chant Hare Krishna, then I'll definitely go back home, back to God? It's not like that. Krishna is a person. He makes the decision. If we have a negative attitude while we are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna may well send us to hell. And that's what happened even to the Pandavas when Yudhishthira Maharaj went to heaven. He saw Duryodhan sitting there. And he's saying, oh my God, I mean, I escaped the earthly life to come here to see Duryodhan sitting. Okay, where are my brothers? They are in hell. My noble brothers are in hell and this rascal is sitting in heaven. I would rather go to hell than be in heaven. And he forcibly made the Dutta who brought him to heaven to take him to where his brothers were. This is in Mahabharata, you see. Now, they are all pure devotees. All the Pandavas were associates of Lord Krishna. What was the necessity for them to be in hell? So you see, it's a very mystical thing. It's not so black-white. So I think the most important principle is this, that Krishna is a person and he expects us to do the things in the right consciousness, thinking of him favorably. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You have explained very nicely. Raju, Aurora, Prabhuji, you can go ahead, Prabhuji.
That made sense, sir. You may please, you may respond also.
Hare Krishna. All right, yeah. Prabhuji, my clarification is, you talked about Bharat Maharaj and whatever was happening, it was based on what he did. Either you call his karmas or his free will. I just want to understand the thin line between free will, karmas and the destiny. For example, in a Virat Rupa, Bhagwan said to Arjuna that you can see what has happened in the past, what's happening and what will happen in the future. Whatever you want to see, you can see here. And in one of the canto, it is mentioned that in Kali Yuga, particular Raja will will rule for 500 years, for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years. They have given the name also. Yeah, they have given the name also. So the clarification is, what is coming out of destiny, which already decided, you know, and what is coming out of karmas?
See, the Lord knows future, past, present and future. That does not mean that if he knows what the future is, that means he has taken away our free will and has altered our destiny. And we are simply robots. No. Now, when we act, the reaction of that action affects the already existing prarabdha. Because we have already been acting since time immemorial. And that stockpile is called as prarabdha. Technically speaking, it's called prarabdha. Now, today I choose to act in a particular way. It does not directly influence my present action, but it works on the already existing stockpile of product and then influences my action. You see? So that's how it works. And you know, like the example is given of a cow tied to a pole. So maybe the pole, maybe the rope is maybe 10 feet. But the cow is very nasty and he gores all the people walking around. So then the owner of the cow comes and reduces the length of the rope and makes it 2 feet. So the length of the rope represents the freedom in which the cow can move. If it uses that freedom wisely, then the rope will be extended. If he acts nasty, then the rope is reduced in length. So similarly, all of us are bound by this rope of our destiny. We are free to act within certain parameters, certain boundaries. That's destiny. Now, if we want to fly in the air, that's not possible because we are humans. But as gods, they do. So we are limited to a certain space and freedom, liberties with which we can act. And we make our choices, you see. Now, if we act wisely, then that will be extended. We'll get more freedom to make more choices. That's how it works. And at no point we should think that just because the Lord knows what we are going to act, restricts our freedom and destiny. Like, for example, you know, there are certain alcoholics. We know how they will behave when they will cross on the streets and look at that bar on the street. They will go have a peg and they will
then move on. You know it for sure. You can definitely say that this guy, when he'll go there, he will drink. That does not mean he has lost his free will. You see? Because the Lord is within the heart, he knows the choices we will be making. And that is what he shows Arjun. And I already know what's going to happen. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Beautiful answer for Prabhuji's question. Now, Sri Shyam Prabhuji can go ahead with their question, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu, for some nice, wonderful points today. Prabhuji, one question is, this Bharat Maharaj, does he come, is it in Moon Dynasty, Prabhuji? The reason I ask is when...
He is in the lineage of Priyavrat.
Priyavrat. But yes, yes. Arjuna is answered as, oh, best of the Bharatas, right? Mm. So is that Bharat Maharaj and this Bharat same, Prabhu?
Bharat, yes, yes.
Okay.
Bharat, yeah.
Okay. So the Arjuna, what? Okay, Prabhu. That's I want to clarify once, yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Anybody have any questions? If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji and all assembled devotees. Pancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam bhavanamyo vaishnavo namo hare krishna mantra srimad bhagavatam ki jai lila prabhupada ki jai his grace ankina chana krishna prabhu ji ki jai
jai
and all assembled devotees ki jai
jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.